This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program is a blessing to you. If you would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries, all one word, lowercase, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. It can be downloaded to your computer and passed on to others as an attachment as well. Now, in addition, you can reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. That's the old-fashioned way. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849, and we would love to have your comments or any prayer requests that you might want to leave us, and we take your comments and prayer requests seriously. Now, we've been looking at words that reflect the Lord Jesus or the gospel in some way, trying to keep things as simple as possible. And so we've looked at words like beginnings and warnings and worry and hope and faith and the word lost and the word saved itself, grace. We've looked at that. And then we've looked at prophecy that's been fulfilled insofar as the Lord's first coming was concerned. And so with regard to that, we looked at the word new, and that also included the new birth. And then last week, because it was Resurrection Sunday, we looked at the word unbelievable, because with regard to the resurrection, nearly everybody connected with it until they saw the resurrected Lord found it to be unbelievable. And I suspect that many people who had Easter egg hunts and went to church with their Easter bonnets on Sunday probably still look at the resurrection as somewhat of a myth, but as the cornerstone of biblical truth, but nevertheless somewhat of a myth. I just wonder how many people really believe that the tomb is empty and that the Lord is in heaven waiting to come again. I don't know. I hope that people who worship the Lord or said they were worshiping the Lord last Lord's Day were really worshiping the risen Lord who says, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, as I've talked about these things connected with the gospel, there's a word that continually pops up in our study of the gospel that I haven't dealt with, and it's the word repent. And the not only the word repent, but repentance, which would be the noun version of the word repent or the verb form. And as we look at repentance, it's a key concept in our relationship with the Lord. Now, there's a difference of opinion as to what the word repent really means. For some, they think it has to do with a change of behavior, a conviction of sin, and that's true, it does. And for some, they see it as a way of cleaning up their life and doing good works and so on. But really, the idea of repentance always has to do with the idea of a change in of mind. When we look at the word repentance, we find that Webster says it's a change of mind or a conversion from sin to God. And I would agree with him as long as he looks at the word sin as the unbelief that we have, the sin that requires us to turn, the change of mind that requires us to admit that we're wrong and that God is right. And so the Bible does say, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Of course, it says the same thing about faith. We know that we who believe in the Lord are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so there's always a question as to whether repentance leads to sorrow or whether sorrow leads to repentance, and can you have repentance without sorrow? Now, it always has to do with a change of mind about something. As we go through the scriptures, we need to ask ourselves, what change of mind is the issue in the passage? Now, I want to read to you from Isaiah 55 and verses 6 through 9 as to why repentance is necessary. And as we read this, keep this in mind. When it comes to our relationship with God, there's a basic principle that we have to remember, and that principle is that whatever we think is right is usually wrong. And that's why the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to change our minds, and as we change our minds, we are brought into agreement with God, and when we're brought into agreement with God, we really don't have any trouble trusting Him or believing in Him. Not just believing Him or believing about Him, but believing in Him or on Him or trusting Him. So whatever we think is right is usually wrong. Whatever we think is right in a natural way is usually wrong in a spiritual way. We would like to tell God what He ought to be like. And God tells us what He is like, and that's usually not the concept we have of God. And God likes to tell us what pleases Him, and the concept we have is usually not the right concept when it comes to pleasing God. So I want to read from Isaiah 55, where it says in verse 6, Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And I'm reading primarily for verse 8, which says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so you can see that ever since Adam and Eve were deceived in the garden, actually Eve was deceived and Adam went along with it, ever since then, man has tried to tell God what's right, and God wants to tell us what's right. And so our thoughts are not His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And that's why this idea of a change of mind is so necessary when it comes to this matter of being saved or pleasing God after we're saved. Now, whenever we look at repentance, then we have to look at what change of mind is being talked about, because there's a lot of times that our change of mind has to do with the way a Christian should worship. It has to do with the women's role in the church. There has to be a change of mind because, naturally speaking, what God says is right, we think is wrong in our society. But if we're going to please God, we have to go by what God says, but we need to understand why God says it. And unfortunately, when it comes to different roles, roles for men and roles for women, most of us do not really understand why God says what He says. Now, in a physical way, men and women have different roles. Women produce children, they bear them, and the men cannot do that. But the men can, of course, protect them, provide for them, and raise them. And they can provide the means for planting the seed that does give rise to a child. But we have different roles and different functions, and when they are working together properly, everything is great. But when we try to step outside of those roles, things don't work properly, and having different roles does not mean we have different values. The Lord values every one of us, no matter what our color, no matter what our background, no matter what our economic status is. He values every one of us. But we do know that repentance, like faith, leads to a change of behavior, because the Lord says, bring forth fruits therefore worthy of repentance, in Matthew 3 and verse 8. However, when we really look at this issue of repentance, we have to recognize that the Lord tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, it's interesting that the idea of perishing and coming to repentance is taught in that verse, whereas the idea of faith and not perishing is taught in the Gospels and by Paul in the epistles. And so we know, for example, in John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's faith, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And so we see that it is faith that brings about eternal life. And yet Peter says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is, to a change of mind. Well, what is Peter really saying? He's saying, as near as I can tell, that ever since Eve was told in the garden that she would be as a god, knowing good and evil, that is, dictating what good and evil was, and being in charge of good and evil, ever since she's been told that, we need to change our mind where we disagree with God, and we need to be willing to say, I am wrong, God is right. I wonder how many of us have ever said that. I am wrong. I am wrong about the way of salvation. It's not what we do that makes us fit for heaven, because what we do involves sin. But it's what Christ has done for us that makes us fit for heaven. And it's faith in that that makes us fit for heaven. So whatever we are hanging on to that we think will bless us and make us fit for heaven apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to repent or change our mind with regard to that. We have to find out that we can go to church all our lives and still not be a believer in Christ. We are a believer in what we are doing for God rather than a believer in what God has done for us. And there needs to be a time in our lives when we realize that as lost, guilty sinners, that we need to be saved. Again, there needs to be a change of mind with regard to our condition before we are saved. We are not always believers. We're not born believers. We're born in sin. We are shapen in iniquity. We are born with the nature of sin, and as a result of that, there has to be a change of mind. Now, if you're saved today, you can go back in your mind's eye, and you can remember when you found out that whatever you thought was right when it came to pleasing God was wrong. You found out you were lost. You found out that even though you had many good works, there were some sins that you hadn't dealt with. You found out that even though you may have been baptized, that baptism didn't save. You had to agree with God with regard to those things. And once you agreed with God that he was right and you were wrong, and that it's only by grace that you're saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, and God really is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, you'll find out that repentance, when you come to a true repentance, that means that you are agreeing with God, and that's when you have come to true faith. So there's many things we can repent of, many things we can be convicted about, but one thing we need to be convicted about is that God is the one who tells us how to be saved, and he is, the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him, and salvation has to do with changing our mind with whatever disagreement we have with God's plan and accepting God's plan as he has laid it out in the scripture. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless thy word and bless those who are listening as we give thanks for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen.